You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Sure about back in my day, are you?
Yeah.
My intention was good. Yeah. I mean, I planned.
That's all that matters.
I planned to do one.
That's all
I just
that
didn't.
Yes. Get your mom, though. See if your mom can come on anytime before noon. Even if it's post-game show, there could be something funny there. I want to start using your mom more. Like, she says we need to plan it with her. Like, and if we can build a segment around her on Tuesdays, I'm good with that. She says our notice stinks. And that she doesn't, like, she's got a life.
I mean, it's always just get my mom and then I text her.
I know, like, but yeah. I know, but there can be an excuse.
Right.
It, we don't have to stumble into it every time. There can be an excuse every week to have something they're arguing about. It can replace back in my day, for all I care, given how little your dad wants to actually do them.
Can she name five times where you've admitted you were wrong? Five times in all the years you've known her.
I can't wait for this interview. I can't wait for it.
She's the same way. She's not a person who admits she's wrong.
And I was surprised that Dan had you so high in his power rankings of people who refuse to apologize.
I was, too. It's an insult.
I mean, that's great. Right. Do you have a top five, by the way? I'd be interested in your top five people who refuse to apologize.
There is no one. My dad's high on this list.
Of course he is.
My dad is really high.
Higher than Greg?
No. No one in my life. No one in my life is higher than you. And Chris, is there anyone in your life higher than your dad? He says it's your mom, then your dad.
No, it's my dad. He's just stubborn. He's just, you know, I kind of like that too, but I see it in him and I, like, you know, will over apologize to my wife sometimes.
Your dad digs in.
It's human nature to be defensive. It is. It just absolutely is human nature where your instinct. If Christopher calls me yesterday and says, hey, people are hating or calling you names, blah, 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 the instinct, before you think about it, the gut reaction is to say, oh, they're overreacting, right? Or people are being too sensitive. There's nothing wrong with what I wrote.
You want to defend yourself.
Yeah, and then you think about it. You instead of rationalizing it, you think, well, why would people be upset by that? And you come to the realization, and then you admit you were wrong.
That's the part that doesn't quite happen so easily there. You just stumbled to an end point there that ignores some things,
like
which
what?
Is, and Chris, tell me if this is your experience with your father. Fight tooth and nail, be defensive, never actually tell you that you were right. Never actually say, you know what? I was being defensive there. Never mind. That's my experience with you throughout the entire time I have been friends with you. Okay. Do I have it wrong, though, Chris?
That's why today is such a big moment, Dan. Because he's finally, and that's why yesterday, see, that's the part, I called him yesterday. It was actually fun because I didn't think that he had a gauge of this yet. And I could always tell the mood of my dad by how he says hello. And he was just like, hey, boy. And I was just like, yep, he has no clue.
Wow.
Oh, so he didn't know. So at this point,
so take us through this conversation.
Yes, I want inside the scandal. TMZ, I've got a giant water
well,
drink.
I learned about it through, like, not to, I don't know if I want to, like, a text with Mike of just basically like saying that, you know, Greg's going to have to address something tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God, what did he do? So then I had to go to the internet and find it. And I was like, okay, Dad, you're going to have to say some things here.
But we want that phone call. Can you?
Take us. I want a detailed behind the scenes. Yes.
Hey, boy.
Inside the scandal. So he answers the phone and he's delighted to hear from you. So at this point, you know, wait a minute. My dad doesn't know. My narcissist, selfish father has no idea that he's embroiled in scandal.
And then when I was like, Dad, people aren't happy with something you said in the article. He's like, what? I'm defending Tua. He thought it was about like whether Tua was good or not. And like, that's why people were upset. And then it was just basically like, you know, you're going to want to go check the tweet of your article tweeted out and then get back to me. And he called me back and he was just like, holy crap. Like, see, that's the part that my dad, his heart is in the right place. He just stepped into it. But that's why I just... with him and how defensive he is. That's why I was just like, Dad, I know your heart is in the right place here, but you need to like actually admit something being wrong here because it's so hard for him.
But Chris, in all of that is where we are in every conversation we're having about any of these things, cancel culture, race, woke. It's all there for you right there. Everything you just said, someone's heart is in the right place. Okay, that doesn't buy me anything. And plenty of people's heart aren't in the right place right now. But being in the hard place, being the person whose heart is in the right place, but still does the thing wrong and then gets defensive and then starts saying you're too sensitive. Like that's where all of these conversations are going sideways these days. And I just love that through Greg Cody, the very symbol for white privilege on our show. There could be a learning moment with the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, whose name locally we're all learning to pronounce. In fact, I think Whittingham, you flinched because Cody is still not putting the N
it's
in his
Tagovailoa.
I know, but
Tagovailoa.
Vailoa. Okay.
But we still struggle with it. We're still trying to learn this dude's name. I'm still scared of it. Scott Hansen just got over the yips. It took like week six before now he's fine. And I'm happy for him. And I'd still like to talk to him because he had the yips around Tua's name. I want to say Tagovailoa. Am I saying it correctly? Because I'm scared of it.
I think you got it.
Needs a little I. Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. Got it? No.
Have you ever
close.
Whittingham, have you ever had a name that you're scared of? Like, what is the name that you have wrestled with the most? Because this isn't actually that easy as we're all as broadcast. It took me, I don't know, months of daily reps on ESPN, Stugatz, to get the initial whiff of Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
It took me a couple. Like
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, it's an easy one for me. I can't explain it.
Has been since the beginning.
I don't know why.
Stugatz has some idiot savant stuff around just a couple of these things.
I once did a game that involved a team from Saudi Arabia, and I wanted to pronounce all of the names in the correct Muslim dialect. And so I actually... reached out to a friend I went to college with who sent me a WhatsApp voice note of all the names of the players on the team. And even still, like I sometimes think about, like, is that patronizing if I use an accent that I don't normally use? And there are definitely some difficulties in saying names.
How much time did that take you? Like, was that a bit of a grid for you? Because I don't think that people... So, guys, what do you think people imagine the prep is for a broadcaster on a game? Meetings, when you're listening to the broadcast last night and you can't decide why it is entirely, do I like what the Mannings are doing more than what they're doing over here
right
on the main channel? Do you think the people watching know what Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are doing or care what they're doing for prep to learn about everything that they're about to do?
I don't think they care at all. No. I think you care if it's something you want to pursue, but I think for the most part, they don't care what they're doing to prepare, how hard their job is. I think they wish they had their jobs, but don't care how they prepare for their jobs.
But when I tell you what happens with Whittingham here, how many hours did that take you and how much unrest and discomfort did you have about basically trying to do the show, if you're trying to respect the dialects, navigating that every word, anytime you're calling a player's name, right? It was
it's the entire game, the full 90 minutes, and they had a lot of the ball as well. They had like 65% of the ball, so you're saying the names a lot.
How many hours did that take, and how much did you feel like you were learning fluency code in another language?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a long time. Like, it was actually mostly in the build-up to the game because we got, it's another situation as well where we didn't get, like, the rosters for the game until fairly late, and so I'm WhatsApping my friend, like, is this right? And I'm saying it to him. Is what I'm saying right? And, you know, you try your best, but, like, soccer in particular, MLS is, like, players from 90 countries. And so you're learning African names, you're learning French names, you're learning names from all over the world. And in some ways, it's cool exposure. But yeah, I put a lot of time into making sure that I'm saying things correctly, never mind knowing their life stories.
If we get to the roots of all the stuff we've been talking about for many years around here, the starting point on these conversations, who's offended, when they're offended, what they're offended by, are people too sensitive? Isn't the starting point that you got to be willing to do the work that Whittingham is trying to do there to be respectful to craft and culture? You got to, and a lot of people are like, don't tell me to work. My country, my language, my accent, my people, don't tell me that I've got to work because you need equality.
Again, like, another thing that Greg did not do by putting his hat in his hand and humbly apologizing publicly.
Yep.
Thank
almost
you, Mike.
The very second
job
he found out
thank you, Mike.
That he offended people.
Right. And I did admit to the starting point with this was ignorance, which is no excuse whatsoever. It's not as if I said to myself, I reread it and I said to myself, wow, should I be writing that? Is this going to be seen as making fun of Samoan culture? There was not even that occurrence to me. It didn't occur to me, which doesn't make it right.
I love that when Chris called you, you originally thought people were outraged by your take on Tua.
I did. Right, I did.
I want to get to your take on Tua. I want to get to,
we should get
I want to get
yes.
to weekend observations as well. Is your take sharpened on Tua? Is it ready to go?
Yeah, I think that the narrative around Tua is changing, and I take a small dose of credit for that, just an ounce.
What? Wait a minute,
yes.
What?
No, I do, because I've been a champion of his. And
Wait a minute, hold on.
Well, he has, I mean.
I know, we established before the apology, we established that he has no greater fan publicly.
Right. Why are you laughing?
You have prided yourself. It is a point of pride to you in the South Florida media, the columnist who once traded Dan Marino and said you need to replace him with Scott Mitchell and had to appear on a local broadcast covered in sort of the FBI garb.
Yeah, it was hilarious. My voice was like altered and everything. It was tremendous.
That columnist is publicly announcing on these airwaves that he does not understand because he thinks we're still on television and radio. You're saying that there is no better in South Florida public fan of Tua in the media than you.
Right. I don't know if I would use the word fan. I might use the word supporter. But
believer.
I am a believer, particularly contrasted against the alternative in Deshaun Watson. So I'm a fan of Tua. He's had two great games in a row. And whenever I say that, it's like, well, what about those interceptions? Sure, they existed. As Brian Flores said after the game, all you want your quarterback to do is put you in a position to win. Well, Tua's fourth touchdown pass of the game put them in a position to win. And then the defense took a crap in the last 2 minutes. So the narrative there would have been a redeeming performance by Tua. And because of the defense, that's ignored. And it shouldn't be. That was a winning performance by Tua, I thought. And he's had two great games in a row, and that's quantifiable. He's completed almost 80% of his passes, 6 touchdowns. This guy can be the QB1 moving forward. There's no question in my mind.
I thought that conversation, you guys, I don't know whether you took it home with you, because I really did think from a sports perspective, The way that Greg Cody is analyzing the performance of Tua, I believe, is fair, and not just because he's a huge fan of Tua. I believe it's fair the way that he has done that. But I don't know, based on yesterday's question, whether the answer to the question, can you have had a great winning performance if you have two disaster plays, if it's possible? I don't know if the question, if that answer is yes or no, because Tua was very much the reason they lost, even though he played well, and even though it was the defense at the end, because he gifted points to Atlanta. And I
but
don't
put them in a position to win, Dan.
I know, but put them in a position to lose as well. Like, this is, I'm saying this is the conundrum of today, where you're protecting the football like that, that the turnovers and what they do matter. They cost you 3 or 7 points here. Oh, Atlanta just took the football after you just got the momentum and the possible lead and went 70 yards with it because you gifted them 70 yards they've had to fight for all game. Like, I don't know the answer to the question I'm asking.
Like all of Tua's time down here, the last two games are a little confusing because he's been pretty good in them, but he's had the two disaster plays that impacted win probability the most. However, if you remove the injury from the equation, his last three games, situationally, he's put his team in position to win at the very end. They've lost the last two games without him on the field. He's had no impact on those key moments. So while he impacted win probability with bad mistakes, he did what he had to do to make up for it in the end.
You're down 13 headed into the fourth quarter, and a quarterback brought you back and got you the lead. When's the last time that's happened around?
Okay, right.
Seriously.
But Stugatz, you say down 13.
Last year with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Against the Raiders.
Fitzmagic.
You're doing it too simply here, though, Stugatz. You say down 13 in the fourth quarter. They were down 13 in the fourth quarter because when they were down 20-14 in the third quarter, they'd just gotten the turnover that they needed to have a short field and score a touchdown and take the lead and grind it out in the fourth quarter. And he threw an epically terrible worst interception of the weekend when I saw Mahomes concussed and running around there.
Ooh, yeah. Did you watch Carson Wentz?
That was a bad one.
And it was actually ruled as a fumble, by the way.
That had not happened yet when I was watching all of this.
Kyler Murray threw a dreadful one as well. It was genuinely to nobody.
Yeah, right. Burrow had a bad one too, but I love that the interception was so bad that it was a fumble, because why does Carson Wentz think he has a shovel pass in his locker? Stop doing that. You don't. It's not for everybody.
I will tell you that when Carson Wentz steps into a throw, he looks like a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He was pretty good in that game.
Yeah, he was.
The problem is it takes him 7 seconds to step into that throw.
When you say pretty good in that game, it was a wet game, and I'm box score Dan on this one, but didn't he throw for 150 yards? He had two thrown touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, but that's what's passing for a good Carson Wentz game.
I believe
game.
He played in something called a bomb cyclone. I'm giving it to him.
Yeah.
He also threw two balls that should have been intercepted that weren't.
Oh, God. One of them was so bad.
Didn't Rodgers have a bad interception, too?
Wait, so that was rolled a fumble? Yeah. That was rolled a fumble?
Good quarterbacks make bad plays.
The shovel pass? I have a friend who bet on Carson Wentz to throw an interception in that game.
Oh.
And lost the bet because that was changed by the NFL to a fumble.
So the streak continues for Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Most pass attempts right now actively in the NFL without throwing an interception. That doesn't mean he hasn't thrown balls that should have been intercepted. He's thrown plenty of them, but right now he's getting away with them.
That's the amazing stat, correct? That we're all watching Carson Wentz, and if you merely do a very quick data search, you will find, wait a minute, Wentz hasn't thrown an interception in a long time. It must be because he's playing well. Or no, every time I watch him, he's trying to fart a football out his butt while playing on his helmet, and it just happens to be dropped by a linebacker.
Is there a stat, should have been an interception?
Yes.
There is?
Yes. Passes. Wow. It is Pro Football Focus.
Smart people
we'll
over there.
We'll get you a login. Mm-hmm. He is simultaneously my least favorite and most favorite to watch in the NFL because—
More than Jameis.
He does, yeah, more than Jameis. And Jameis had a couple maddening instances last night, but it is so frustrating to watch Carson Wentz hold on to the ball for far too long when his protection is clear. You need to make a decision in the NFL. He doesn't do it. And yet he does something reckless and somehow gets both his ankles sprained, or he just gets blown up. It is appointment television watching Carson Wentz.
Am I wrong when I analyze it this way? Carson Wentz from a different time. I don't know if it's Steel Country, but it feels like it was. He plays. He's going to grind his way to 3-4 with a lunch pail. You correct me if I'm wrong. Carson Wentz dropping back, really athletic by any athletic standard that you have, but probably not in that league at that position as it changes very quickly. Just won't realize, hey, this pocket's getting smaller more quickly, and I got to be careful with my ankles, and Kyler Murray's doing loops around back there. I'm going to stand back here like Fouts for five regal and glorious minutes. As a statue dropping back, as everyone, as Clowney and Garrett get here in 2.1 seconds on average. Not me, Carson Wentz. I'll be back here for 5 seconds. And this is why my body's breaking and I'm 26 and you think I'm 56. Because the pocket is collapsing, but he's like, no, I'm a robo quarterback. I will stand back here and I will take all your hits, even if it means I'm out of the league in 2.5 years.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll make it another 2.5 years at this rate, but I would love to see just what his uniform looks like in like 5 years. How many braces, how many springs and sprockets are flying out of him every time he dives for a first down?
But are you saying he's unwilling to adjust? He will stand there for the maximum 5 seconds for the remainder of time?
I'm saying Mike is, I am saying this is
because I'm with you.
But this is what I'm fascinated by as the sport changes. I am saying that Carson Wentz hasn't realized that that pocket is collapsing all around him and he can't hold on to the ball. Tom Brady gets rid of it faster than anybody. Like, he's 44 and he doesn't even get hit that often. His offensive line is good, but it's because everything's out in 2 seconds. You cannot sit back there when it's collapsing around you.
One interception for Wentz against 11 touchdowns, though. I mean, it appears he's back.
You need to get your own Pro Football Focus. This is a local reference, and it's a deep pool, admittedly. But if anyone remembers FIU quarterback Paul McCall, he basically played in a full body cast. He was like half man, half cyborg. He was just, he had both his arms were in braces. Both his knees had two braces on him.
I am saying
this. He tried to recruit me to a frat.
What?
What?
Yeah, I didn't join.
Imagine frat Billy.
I can't.
It's like the beginning of the semester, like all like, hey, want to come to our mixer and join our friend?
Oh, the quarterback invited you. That's
well, he was in the starter at the time. Yeah, but still. And it was obviously, you know, a split second thing where something about me was just giving off frat vibes that day, I guess.
That's nice. You would have been a totally different person, wouldn't you have? If you had gone the frat life, Billy.
Would have been more of an asshole.
I can't imagine you frat life. Like, that doesn't fit for me.
No, I would not have. I would not have been selected. I feel like it's like a quota thing, right? Where like they have to hand out a certain number of flyers or whatever for the day. I have no idea. But I would imagine it's that, right? Where it's like, let's just give out all these flyers.
You were easy pickings?
Yeah, I was like, this seems like someone that will take my flyer so I can go on with the rest of my day.
This seems like someone meek. I can hand a flyer who won't hand it back to me.
Yeah. I did take it. And then I didn't want to throw it in the trash because I don't know what you guys do when people hire. I give you flyers if you throw them away right away. I don't. I'll just put them in my pocket and walk around with them for a couple hours, and then eventually I'll throw them away. Because I feel like it's rude if like the person turns around and just sees a trash can right behind them is filled with the things they just gave everybody.
I do that. But you don't just tell the person, hey, I don't want your flyer. Save it for someone else. Otherwise, it's going in the trash.
Let's examine this. Billy, thank you for this. I want to examine this. I think there are very many different kinds of people in the world. And it's not surprising at all that Billy would inconvenience himself through kindness for miles and hours to not have somebody who's sadly handing out flyers on a sidewalk look to the corner and see the garbage can filled with their flyers five feet away. Billy, that is a very kind gesture by you.
Thank you.
An extra level of consideration.
I make paper airplanes out of it when they hand me a leaflet or something. And
throw
then,
it right back
and
at them.
Throw it right back and hit them in the back of the head with a sharp point of my paper airplane.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm jealous. I just throw mine in the garbage.
Right? Well, it's an easy way out.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Oh, I think Larry Fitzgerald's on the green right there.
Stugatz.
That's Alfonso Ribeiro.
How do you think that Larry Fitzgerald
and the son.
Oh, the son.
To be fair. Yeah, yeah. To be fair.
All right, whatever.
Alfonso Ribeiro has a great ass.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Greg, could you make a paper airplane now?
Oh, wow.
Sure, I could.
Greg great at this.
Who's Charles McDonald? I apologize for not knowing.
Old Charlie Mack.
USA Today NFL writer.
Okay, my bad. Charles McDonald had a farm.
Let's not play with people's names for a little bit, Greg.
Probably a good idea.
You okay? Oh, jeez.
Wow. That was a cackle.
I was also a balsa wood. They had balsa wood planes.
Right.
Remember those?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you, Stugatz? Do you
great
remember
flight.
Those?
Just keeping the conversation going, Mike.
Go make a better airplane than that. That's a bad airplane.
You guys, I would love for us to spend the rest of our lives with you just over the shoulder of Stugatz.
Checking him?
When he's just keeping a conversation moving with the lubricant of lies.
Honestly,
doesn't care
it's a common courtesy. I mean, I'm being nice to Greg.
Dan, I gave it thought.
Appreciate that.
I gave it thought today. What if I just check Stugatz every time he lied? And it would just be a terrible listening experience.
So if you say no to Greg in that spot, what happens is Greg keeps talking. If you say yes, the conversation ends. I'm really helping everyone out. That's what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah. Necessary evil. Thank you, Sue.
I got player.
Yes. I got more on balsa wood planes if anybody's interested. I
mean, always.
You and I both. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You first, I guess.
Well, I love a good balsa wood plane because the thing about the balsa wood is a very shiny wood.
He's got nothing. He's got
do you
nothing.
Know what balsa wood is?
He's got nothing.
Well, I'm getting there. It's a balsa wood.
Please don't.
No, he doesn't have it in him. But yes,
it's my favorite wood.
If you guys, wait a minute, as sophisticated as Billy and Mike have gotten on this, if they check you on every lie, we'd never finish a point. On any show we ever did, we'd get like stuck in a matrix because they'd be so.
What if
good.
I just say
he's better at the sounds than you are. Like,
what does Greg have on balsa wood planes since he has so much?
Well, I used to fly them over the house, and if the plane went over the, you know, very light wood, if the plane,
like I said,
if the plane went over the house, you felt like $1 million. The problem is, if it didn't, you had to get a ladder and climb up on the roof to get it. So that was incentive to really perfect the art of the throw. And balsa wood planes, some of them are very small. Some of them are like a foot and a half long. They were tremendous. We had a rivalry in our neighborhood. Me and Gary the Bag Rosenfeld would compete on who would throw the balsa wood plane the furthest.
I have to ask. Why bag. Was he called Gary the Bag?
Why Gary the Bag?
it's related to baseball.
You did have to ask, by the way, Mike. You
great did, question. You did have we were all to, thinking I, it.
It's,
yes.
It's my favorite thing Greg does, which is just—it's a totally selfish teammate. It's just he references things that only he knows.
Only he knows.
Gary the Bag Rosenfeld. The Rosenfeld keeps it moving.
It's a great.
Everyone knows the bag.
Tell us with 1440. He just keeps it
tell
moving.
Tell us more. Tell us more about how he got the nickname the Bag, because you clearly grew up around crime families where everyone had
No, it was related to baseball. He was a first baseman, you know, so he was always had his foot on the bag, and that just became his nickname.
Right.
You know, no mystery to it.
Never took the foot off the bag.
Gary right. the right. Bag.
Yes, it's a great course. Nickname.
So you and the bag were throwing planes over the house?
Yeah, we competed. We threw over the house, and then we had distance throwing on the street in front of our homes. Right. We were neighbors.
Is the bag still with us?
He is still alive. Is that what you mean? Yeah, he
you
lives
don't seem
in
confident about
what,
it.
What
yeah.
you mean? You
mean I'm Ron Burgundy?
I think he lives in Connecticut. He lives in the Northeast somewhere.
The reason that I tolerate Greg Cody's general selfishness and narcissism is because he does know the comedic perfection of saying his buddy's name from childhood that quickly, Gary the Bag Rosenfels. But because he's Cesar Tovar, always swinging all over the place, sometimes he swings and connects and sometimes he misses. Our next guest, Charles McDonald, right. You didn't know you were on air before, and this is what Greg Cody did when he heard his name.
Who's Charles McDonald? I apologize for not knowing.
Old Charlie Mack.
USA Today NFL writer.
Okay, my bad. Charles McDonald had a farm.
It's not clear people's names for a little bit.
I apologize. Probably a good idea.
You okay? Okay. Oh, my God.
All right, a lot to unpack here. A lot to unpack. Before you start apologizing and get defensive, hold on.
I'm not going to get defensive.
You already
me.
Are defensive. No. You've got your hands up like I'm going to shoot you.
I would like to explain myself to Charles when you give me a chance.
That's what being defensive is. Just hold on and let's absorb everything that happened here, including how hideous your laughter was after you decided to sing this man's name.
Charles McDonald had a farm.
That's not clear people's names for a little bit, Greg.
Probably a good idea.
You okay? Oh, my God.
It's disgusting. Just totally It's totally disgusting.
Who's Charles McDonald? For the love of God. Charles, I apologize.
That's all good. The song reminded me of when I was like in second grade and kids would sing that song.
There you go. So I'm bringing back childhood memories.
Or trauma.
The old balsa wood days.
You remind me of when I was an 8-year-old, so I haven't done that in a while. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. I'm addicted to puns and wordplay, so if any guest named McDonald would have gotten that same treatment. But the one-syllable first name really helped.
Any guest named McDonald would have gotten this treatment.
Yes, exactly. Charles McDonald had a farm. Right. But if Charles... But if Jeez. That wasn't me making that It's ghastly.
It's
haunting when you hear it back.
Before I ask him football questions, Charles, you're not in the room with us. What does that sound conjure for you? What's happening there?
It's like you're drinking like a mucus smoothie or something, and it just got caught up on the way back. You sound so bad, Greg. It's crazy, though, because I listen to the show like every day, and you know, it's been like 5 years now where you're coughing every time that you come on. And I just want to know, like, are you good, bro?
It depends on who you ask. If you ask my pulmonologist, not so much. But I feel great. No, I feel great. I'm over my cough, by the way. I don't cough anymore.
But how?
You cough every time you laugh.
That's true.
You cough every time you sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
Again.
It's Charles MacDonald Had a Farm.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's please. A fine.
I'm sorry. That's a fine.
Now, if Charles had a two-syllable first name, I would not have gone there. See, it has to be a one-syllable first name that goes with old.
So if it Norm was McDonald's. Lanny McDonald's?
Right. Wouldn't have gone there. Mm, yeah.
Interesting.
Charlie Michael McDonald?
Mm. No, wouldn't have gone there.
Well, you could have done Mike McDonald.
I would have gone Mike McDonald Had a Farm.
Right.
Right.
Ron McDonald?
Yeah, perfect.
I actually have an uncle named Ronald, but we have different last names.
Okay. All right.
What is it? What is yours?
Wow. What is it? Name?
It's not McDonald's.
Ron the Bag Rosenfeld.
What do you think the bag was when Greg said the nickname of the bag?
I imagined a bank robber.
It's a Rorschach test. What bag did you picture?
The Monopoly bag with the cartoon dollar sign on it.
McDonald's
because
bag.
Because they were kids.
Right.
Charles, the Chiefs. Bad team?
The defense is certainly bad, but I think for the Chiefs, I would go more just like extremely unlucky than straight up bad. I mean, obviously, I don't think Mahomes has been as good as he was in previous years. And it's funny that, you know, we're talking about a down Mahomes year. He's still performing like a top 10 quarterback, and the Chiefs are like breaking records in terms of how many first downs they're getting like on a per play basis. But these turnovers are just killing them. And, you know, I don't think that all of this is like replicable stuff that, you know, when people say, oh, you know, this team figures out the Chiefs. I don't think it's always that simple. I mean, you go back to the Buffalo game, they got a chance to get back into that game and a pass hits Tyreek Hill right in the hands, goes to Buffalo back for pick six. The next week, literally the same exact things happens. Ball goes through Tyreek Hill's hand again, Washington football player intercepts it. Then you have the crazy play where Mahomes like drops a snap and tries to throw out of it and throws a pick. And then, you know, on Sunday versus the Titans, I think there was a play where the pass was deflected and the linebacker barely dove and made the interception. So, you know, some of that stuff is like you can't really bank on that happening the rest of the way. So I think the offense is kind of going to figure itself out. But where they're going to get in trouble is that defense. I mean, it's, I think, inarguably the worst defense in the league. It's really deteriorated since that Super Bowl win against the 49ers a couple of years ago. And I think it's going to make it hard for them to advance in the postseason, because I still expect them to get there. I mean, this team just has too much talent not to make it to the postseason. But once they get there, it's going to be tough.
Charles, unlucky seems like a convenient excuse to explain away what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. It suggests that, because I didn't hear anyone say they were lucky when they were winning. And now it's unlucky when they're losing.
But Charles, when you're doing this, correct? When you're doing unlucky, it's not just some mythical, mystical mist. It's you're looking at numbers that tell you unlucky is math.
Well, yeah. And just in general, like when you think about turnovers throughout the course of a season, like these are pretty rare events that happen throughout the course of the game. So, you know, when you look at it year by year or even game by game, it's kind of hard to like predict that teams are going to be turning the ball over a lot or not getting a lot of turnovers. Like at some point, you know, those numbers are going to correct themselves a little bit. I mean, they're turning the ball over more than any team in the league. Like they have five more turnovers than the Jaguars. They have 17 turnovers this year. They had, I think 16 all of last year. So it's just like uncharacteristically bad for them. And just like when you look at this offense, you know, Mahomes, Kelce, Tyreek Hill, the offensive line is better, but, you know, they're not maybe not as good as they would hope. But there's just still too much talent for this team not to make the postseason. And I just would kind of, if I was a betting man, I mean, I am. Last time we talked about my horrible record. But, you know, I would bet on this team to figure it out before the playoffs start.
Well, tell us more about your horrible betting.
Quantify it.
Are you getting, yes, you're this guy who knows football. You've made a career around, I know the game, and you take this knowledge and you bet on the games and you stink.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the dumbest thing I did, I think I bet on the Texans this week because every time I see like these, you know, 16, 17, 20 point spreads. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, you know, these NFL teams, it's kind of hard where you see blowouts every week. You know, it's hard to predict that blowouts are going to happen. So, you know, I have taken the Texans a couple times this year when they're huge underdogs.
But, this is how a lot of people, this is what I think is happening to a lot of gamblers in football. I love watching this thing. The action is a great deal of fun. I have no idea what's happening out here except for the 6-0 Stu Gatz.
Thank you.
So even though I think that the Cardinals look undefeated great and Texans look like the worst team in the league, and even though I normally think no NFL team should be getting 17 points, I love Arizona to crush them, but football. but football, you give any team 17 points, and no matter what you think is going to happen in that game, football might happen. So the thing you think you know ends up being the opposite. You're just betting the opposite of the thing you think you know. The only thing you feel like you know is that football is going to be weird.
Right. I mean, look at the Lions covered a big number at the Rams. I mean, that's an example of this unpredictability. I think I pick every game. I had a good week. I went 8-4-1 against the spread last week, but that's an anomaly. I'm getting my ass kicked this season. It's a tough year to predict. It's a tough sport to predict.
Unless you're Stu Gatz.
Unless you're Mate Charles. You look good early on. Houston was up 5-0. I mean.
Yeah, I know. I was really hoping the game would end right there. And then, you know, they kind of, Houston's funny because they're kind of in this space like where mediocre college teams are. Like when you play like Alabama or Georgia and you're kind of close for like the first quarter or two quarters. And then the talent starts playing out eventually. But I'll tell you what, the worst pick I had this weekend, I went like all in on the Panthers to cover against the Giants. I looked at the Giants injury report, no Saquon, no Sterling, no Kenny Galladay.
Yep.
Pretty sure Kadarius Toney was out this week, and they were like 3-point dogs at home, and I hammered the Panthers, and they got absolutely destroyed. So I covered the Jets for 2 years, so I don't know why I decided to put my money on Sam Darnold, and I hope that's the last time I decide to do that.
To Dan's point, football.
you say that, though, but when you have one of the societal stories here, and now the reports are coming out from all over, Charles, that Carolina's in the desperate game on Deshaun Watson, that they're going to actually be bidders for an alleged sexual predator. The idea that Carolina thought 4 games ago that Sam Arnold was the answer. Sam Darnold was the answer.
$2.
So he's playing like Sam Arnold.
Yes.
If you're saying he's the answer, now a month later you're so desperate that you might get in the Deshaun Watson game. Like, what are we doing with this analysis? This is supposed to be the franchise that's ahead on analytics and scheming, and their owner's desperate, and they're like, oh, never mind, Sam Darnold. We did that. That worked for 3 games. We're out after a month.
Yeah, and I mean, the Sam Darnold stuff, it kind of goes back to last year where, you know, they hire Matt Rhule and you get into, well, I think getting like a 7-year contract. And for some reason, like right off the bat, like they're trying to hit fast forward on this rebuild for really no reason. Like instead of just kind of punting, 2020, and if Matt Rhule is supposed to be this great culture guy, maybe you can survive not having, you know, a super viable team. You get back into the draft this year, maybe the first or second pick, and you can kind of get who you want in the draft. But then you sign Teddy, you know, Teddy does what Teddy does. He doesn't get you to the playoffs, but he also doesn't get you the first pick in the draft. And then you have to come up with option two. If you don't like Justin Fields, what's option three? Deshaun Watson, he's got some shit going on. So what's option four? Sam Darnold. And, you know, it just kind of goes back to, you know, we talk about the Panthers, they're smart and they're forward thinking, but I think this run has kind of been defined by impatience at the quarterback position, which has kind of left them in no man's land now.
Charles.
I'm with you, Dan.
You said something that I can't let pass because it's the best football analysis I've ever heard on this show.
It's also very rare where you and I have the exact same reaction.
Yes. We knew exactly what he was saying when he said, and Teddy's going to do what Teddy does, which is just sort of like, yeah, I hate watching it. It's not going to win anything, and I'm not going to be terrible. I'm going to be competent, and God damn it, every once in a while, I'm going to give you an 18 play drive that goes 71 yards, and it's going to be Teddy doing what Teddy does.
Yeah, and like the same thing happened to the Broncos this year. Like, you look at their roster, you're like, hey, this is as good as any team in the division. Then you look at quarterback, like, oh, it's Teddy. Like, he's fine, but he's Teddy.
Make your case for Ja'Marr Chase being the MVP of the league.
That wasn't his case. That was Mike Ryan's case.
No, but I think Charles tweeted something about Ja'Marr Chase asking the question. No?
No. I mean, I think he's great, but I don't think he's the MVP.
What happened there?
You guys misread something on the bottom of the research sheet?
I did, yeah. Yeah. $5. Charles, excuse me. Let me find myself. I owe $5.
It's I know you don't have it today.
But can you make a case for Ja'Marr Chase being the MVP?
No.
No.
Good. That is somebody who does know the show. That is somebody.
Here's my $5.
I can make the case. I'll talk to you down by the water cooler.
I think you already made it. I wasn't listening.
Water cooler.
Did you want to finish your point, or Stugatz got quite, it's rare when Stugatz finds himself and then just, he's really wrong when he finds himself and just throws the $5 out there.
Charles, do you have anything on Ja'Marr Chase?
He's amazing.
Thank you. Boom.
Okay. Is that all you wanted?
There's the boom. Yes, thank you. Actually, give me the $5 that you stole.
I get it back.
Charles, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Talk to you guys next time.
Boom. Seriously.
So
boom.
Do I owe money?
Give me the $5. How'd you take it back already?
I don't know. You put your two in for Sam Arnold?
I put five in.
Really?
Give me the fucking five.
Here.
He's trying. You see the move he's doing? He's trying. He thinks.
Put in five, take ten back.
He thinks he's David Blaine.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor, before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.